everybody. Welcome to the Taos Mountain Lifestyle Podcast with your host, Angelo McCourse. Today, I'm super excited because I just walked into the Taos Fly Shop, met with Nick, and I can't wait to let you guys know all about his story. Of course, he's going to tell you, but I can't wait for you guys to get into what he's doing here and come and visit his shop when you can. So what's up, Nick, man? I'm happy to have you.
Yeah, man, this is cool. Thanks for thinking of me, and I'm happy to do this. This is great.
Yeah, I love what you're doing with the fly shop, man. Me, myself, I definitely hit up the Rio. I got a 9 foot, 5 weight, and I'm always out there trying to throw in some fat stone flies to get those big whoppers, dude. I'd probably go in too big. Maybe a midge would work better. But, man, there's nothing like wading in that water, seeing those bighorn sheep when they come down in the canyon to check you out and see what you're doing. And it's even better, man, when you can pick some of that wild mint right off the Rio and slap it in your fish and take it home. And by the time you get home to cook it, it's already all mint flavored, man.
Yeah, man, I like that. I haven't tried that recipe. I was just down just the other day. I went camping. Me and a couple buddies backpacked into the Wild Rivers area. And, you know, for a place that I grew up fishing and a place that I work in all the time, it's still one of my favorite places to just go and hang out. And I don't, you know, I do some camping trips in there, but a lot of times we're just going for the day, man. It's so nice to go in there and spend the night down there. And, you know, we're up Big Arsenic Springs and you're sitting there and you're looking at petroglyphs that have been there for thousands of years. And you think, man, people have been doing this exact same thing, coming down here to catch some fish and drink some water and just enjoy it for a long time. And it's a cool place. It's great. It's great.
Nice. That's really cool, man. So, yeah, as I walked in, I saw you were busy behind your desk, and it looked like your phone was ringing. So what's a day in the life of the fly shop like, man?
Well, you know, when I first kind of got into this business, it was because I love to fly fish. And, you know, as the business has become more and more successful, there's more and more non-fishing type of work to be done.
Oh,
so,
man.
There's more time behind the desk. You know, I was just meeting with a sales rep this morning. I know how to do orders and phone calls and emails, and it's all part of life, but you gotta take the good with the bad. I mean, I still get to spend a lot of my time outdoors and a lot of time you know, taking people fishing and fishing myself, and you know, we've grown to the size now where we have a really good staff, which, you know, in the beginning it was just me and my wife, and we were kind of stuck in here. And so this has allowed me, people that I have working for me, to get to spend a little more time with my kids and not have to be in here every day. But yeah, there's definitely a lot more paperwork than people would, you know. All my friends always say, oh yeah, you get paid to go fishing. And it hasn't quite worked out that way yet.
No. Oh man, well, hopefully, I know you'll build your capacity to be the guy doing the guiding down on the river and having everybody up here doing all the administration and sales. But I know how it is as a business owner. You don't want to be giving that responsibility off to everybody right away. You want to make sure it's established and running smoothly. So I know it'll come in time, man. That leads me to my next questions. How long has the fly shop been under your management, and how long have you been kind of running the show? Because I understand this is a legacy shop that your dad started back in, was it 1980 or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. He came to Taos, like a lot of people back in the 60s, kind of looking to escape the world as they knew it. He was from upstate New York, and he grew up, you know, hunting and fishing as a kid. But the East Coast just wasn't really where he wanted to be. So he moved out here and, you know, was kind of like a, you know, a hippie like a lot of people back then, but really was drawn to the area more because it was hunting and fishing and it was still, you know, undiscovered. It wasn't overrun with people, and there was just this incredible mountains all around us. And then, so that led him down a road into which he started the fishing business, and he started the Taos Fly Shop in 1980, and the same year I was born. And I grew up fishing with my dad, of course. At a pretty young age, I started guiding when I was maybe 12 or 13, going along with him and just kind of helping. You know, nobody wanted to listen to a kid, but I was starting to figure out how to fish pretty good by the time I was, I guess by the time I was like 15, I was taking out trips on my own. You know, went to high school, graduated high school, traveled off, did some other things, guided in Alaska and Argentina, and went to UNM down in Albuquerque for a few years. But it didn't take long for me to want to come back to Taos. And so in 2004, my dad actually closed the fly shop in 88 or so. he just ran the guide business after that. And so in 2004, when I moved back to Taos, we actually, my wife and I reopened the fly shop. And the funny thing was we were driving down the road trying to figure out like what we should do. We were kind of in a crossroads business wise. Like I say, he just had the guide business and I wanted to be guiding, but we weren't really generating enough business without a storefront. So we were thinking about doing the fly shop, and we were driving down the road, and the very space that my dad had the shop in back in 88 was vacant, had a for rent sign. And so we pulled in. John Randall owned the building. It was right there by Johnny's Barbershop. And we went and we talked to John Randall, and he was like, oh man, I'd be so happy to have a fishing store back in here. He said, I'll give you the same deal on rent that I gave you back in the 80s.
What?
Yeah. So wow. It was like, he charged me $400 a month for rent, which, you know, at the time,
unheard of.
Yeah. And I didn't have any money. So it was like, if that hadn't happened, I don't know that any of it would have happened. So I got to thank John for that. He was always a really just a great guy. But so my dad had the old Taos Fly Shop sign still in his storage shed. So we rented the building, we put the sign up, and this guy comes walking in the shop like a week after we had opened. And he's like, man, I haven't been to Taos in 30 years. I'm glad to see you guys are still here. So we kind of started over from scratch, but we had the history of being here. And of course we had the guide business. So we did have a clientele, and my dad had already built a really good reputation as a fishing guide in the area. So.
Yeah, that's a really great story, man. Those generational businesses are really awesome. And of course, every business has periods of growth, transition, change, where they got to shut down, reorganize. But of course, it's really nice when you continue on that passion for fishing and get the shop running, up and running, when you just had the guiding business going. And let's talk a little bit more about your fly shop, where it's located, what kind of products and services you guys offer, you guys doing any educational components. Let our viewers know what's happening with your shop these days.
Yeah, we try to do all of that. And actually, you know, since we first had that first base that we rented from John Randall 15 years ago, it was like 300 square feet. Now we've grown. We're in the building, which for a long time was the K-Pasa building.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody
place.
Remembers K-Pasa. In fact, it's been closed for 4 years, and people still come in and they're like, where's your local music selection? And they're like, where's the Spark CDs at? You know, they're like, where are guitar picks? And I'm like, man, we felt so fishing stuff.
It used to be over by the fly tying section.
But yeah, exactly. I remember coming in all the time and buying CDs. And Chavez family still owns the building, and they're great people. But so now we're big. You know, we got about 3,000 square feet, and it actually makes us one of the biggest fly shops in the Southwest. And we carry a real wide variety of brands. We try to, you know, even though we're a small town, you know, and typically there's a lot of businesses in Taos that have a hard time being able to stock enough inventory to where us as customers feel like you're getting the full selection, you're able to be smart with your purchases. We really try here at the shop to have, you know, big range. You know, if you want a real expensive fly rod and reel, we can sell you that. But also, if you're looking for something to just get started, you know, we can't beat Walmart on the really cheap stuff, but we try to have good equipment at a reasonable price so that, you know, if you're a local guy or gal that just wants to try it and you can't afford to spend $1,000, you know, you can at least get started. And we've always made it a point to try to help get people into fly fishing, because it's good for the sport, it's good for the area, and it's good for our business. So we've done classes through UNM Taos for over 10 years now. We offer free fly fishing classes weekly in the spring and in the fall, where it's our Orvis 101 class, where people can just come in, they sign up, it's totally free. We talk about all the, you know, knots and flies and gear, and then we go to the park, we do free casting lessons.
Is that happening right now? Do you have some dates set?
We take a break in for our really busy time in July and August, but then we'll be getting started again every Sunday in September and October. I believe we're going to be doing those.
Nice. Yeah. Did you guys hear that? There's some free classes here at the Taos Fly Shop in October and September every Sunday.
Yep.
Nice. That's Orvis 101, you said?
Yeah, so we do Orvis 101, and you know, we sell Orvis, but as a brand, Orvis, you know, kind of looked at the you know, there's fewer fishermen and fewer hunters every year, and that's a big problem, because we're losing our youth to video games, and we're losing our youth to getting in more trouble, and especially in Taos, right? It's so important from a cultural perspective, and I'm not talking about, you know, culture if you're you know, from the Pueblo, or if you've, or if your family was, you know, Spanish, moved here hundreds of years ago, or you're, you know, a gringo from Texas, it's like culturally your mental health is going to come from your ability to access the mountains here. And, you know, maybe you don't like to hunt. Maybe it's hiking or mountain biking or something, but I think it's really important for us as a community to make sure that especially our youth are getting out into the woods and enjoying, you know, the surroundings that we have.
Man, that's beautiful. I love this. This creates a perfect opportunity for a segue to talk about the Taos Mountain lifestyle, because that's what we are, man. That's who we are. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your background is. If you're coming to Taos, you're coming here for the land, the mountains, the people, the fishing, the skiing, the mountain biking, all these things that embody the Taos Mountain lifestyle. So I know that you're from here. I know that your family's from here. And I know that you went out and came back to start the fly shop again, and I just want to know some of the key reasons why you came back to do this here in Taos. And I know we've already covered some, but if there's more, I would like to know, because you could have chose to open up this fly shop anywhere else in the state or in the nation and with, you know, greater reach and sales and all that, but you're here in Taos, man. Tell me about why Taos.
That's a good question, and it's hard. It's a hard one for me to put my finger on. I mean, to be honest, I don't know that I ever really even considered anywhere else. I always felt like Taos was home.
Nice.
When I lived in other places, it felt like I was visiting those places. You know, I never, mm-hmm. And I have a lot of sympathy because for people, you know, here in Taos, we have a, it's hard sometimes to watch your town change, your small town, right? When I was a kid, I remember there was like one stoplight or something, you know, and buying my skateboard at Sears when it was right there on the plaza. And not, you know, I lived on a dirt road, a lot of good it did me, but it was a small town, and it's still a small town, but it changes a lot. And as locals, we get kind of afraid of that change. But when I think of Taos as home, I mean, I feel really lucky that I was born here. You know, if I was born in Amarillo, and nothing against my friends in Amarillo, but I'd probably want to move to Taos too, you know? And so I can't speak to people that have moved here from other places as to what, you know, as you know, you hear a lot of things, but for me, it just always felt like home. And it's got everything that I needed, and it's got everything that I want. It's got a lot of friends and family. It's got, you know, I love to ski. I grew up skiing. It's got world-class skiing. I love to hunt. You know, my family basically just eats game meat. And so the hunting around here has been able to sustain my family. The fishing, of course, is not only great, but there's not tons of crowds like places in Colorado and Montana. And it's great fishing, you know, to build a business on, just all of those things. You know, our public lands around Taos, you know, the fact that, you know, even me as a guy who doesn't have $1 million or a trust fund or a ranch, you know, I have access to thousands and thousands of acres of land that the next guy does as well. And it's where we go to cut our wood, to heat the house in the winter, and hunting and fishing and all of that stuff. And having all this public land around here makes you feel like a millionaire. You know, you're rich and you're what you can do.
That is beautiful. Taos definitely does have a lot of opportunity to get outdoors and explore new mountaintops, even go into deep canyons and go throw a line in the river. So high or low, you can always find something to do in Taos. Why don't you tell us a couple of your favorite areas that you like to frequent to fish, or some of the areas you like to go hunt? People know where you like to go, because maybe they might go look for you one of these days.
Yeah, I'll give you the I won't give you the really good secret
spots. No honey holes. No honey holes. I didn't ask for honey holes. I asked for some good places you like to frequent that are, you know, popular, or somebody who's looking for a good time, and if they're listening to this will say, well, man, the guy Nick from the fly shop said to go down to.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, if it's me going out and fishing on a day off, my favorite place to go is always going to be the Rio Grande, because it's like, it's wilderness, you know, it's right here close to town. But once you get down in that canyon, we have 70 miles of canyon that you can only get to by hiking in. And it amazes me how good the fishing is down there. You know, the significance of the place, the fact that it's kind of the center of our valley, that all of our water runs through that. And you know, for thousands of years, that river and that canyon have been significant to everybody, because it's just like, you can't get across the valley. I mean, now we have the Gorge Bridge, makes it easier. But could you imagine before that was there, and what that canyon meant to people that lived in this valley, what an obstacle that was. But also what a place of you know. I often look at some of those, you know, the drawings down there and the rocks and the petroglyphs and places, and I think, man, you know, not that living back then would have been all that easy, but boy, that could have been some easy living down on the Rio Grande hundreds of years ago. With, you know, it's just such a, it's got so much life to it. So that's, you know, that's one of the places that I love. But we also have all these great high mountain streams, you know, where you get a little short rod and you get out there and you got to, like, you know, crawl through all the brush. And those fish are so stupid because nobody ever catches them. All you got to do is get one fly in front of them. Doesn't matter what it is, and they'll eat it. But it's challenging to get there without them seeing you. And so I like going up, you know, all the little creeks southeast of Taos, you know, Pot Creek and Rio Chiquito and all those. That's kind of my backyard. The Upper Hondo on the way up to the ski valley, the Costilla, the Vivadal. We take a lot of people fishing up there as a great place for their first time. You know, they're beginners. It's a beautiful valley. It's not a lot of trees, so it's easy for them to fish. It's catch release, so there's lots of fish. It's a great place for people. So we got a lot of good places around here.
So do you have a one quiver setup for your rod and line weight?
Man, you probably seen I've got that rack on top of my car that keeps rods rigged up at all times, man. You can't just have one.
So it's not a one quiver. It's
I always tell people, it's like, it's not that I when people come in and they want to buy a rod, I always try to do right by them. You know, like, I don't want to just make a quick buck. I want to make sure I get them the right rod and make sure it's a price that they're comfortable with. Because I know from experience, my own experience, is that it's hard to just have one rod. And once you really get into fly fishing, yeah, you got that 9 foot 5 weight for the Rio Grande, but then you get out there and you're in the Rio Chiquito and it's brushy and you're like, oh man, I wish I had a 7 foot 2 weight or something like that. Yep, and so right now I'm fishing a 9 foot. Actually, the last couple of days I've been fishing my 9.5 foot 5 weight Sage, which is an awesome rod for the Rio Grande. It gives you some extra reach and some of those pockets and those rocks. So, but yeah, I've got an arsenal of rods.
So are you a wader and boots man since you own the fly shop, or do you just get down to the skivvies and the chacos and jump right in?
If I wasn't so worried about cutting my feet up and everything, I'd probably just be out there barefoot. But no, I don't like waders. I hate waders. And you know, if you grow up at 7,000, 8,000 feet, you know, I get hot when it's 90 degrees. I'm like dying. Typically throughout the summer months, and usually about in end of March, I start wet wading. And so I just wear my wading boots with some neoprene socks and long pants, you know, and I just get in and I leave the waders at home most of the year.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way to go out. Good setup. And thank you for telling us all those great places to go and check out on our next adventure with our rods. So whenever you're not cooking up all that fresh fish you just caught on the Rio, or getting some of those tenderloin medallions from that elk you scored this last winter, where are some of your favorite places that you like to go in Taos just to grab a bite during a busy work day, or to take the family out for a nice dinner?
Man, I like, all my clients are always asking me, where's a good place to eat? And, you know, I got two young kids, and so the reality of it is that home is where we're usually eating. My wife made last night elk steaks with a mushroom sauce from some King Bolitz that we picked the day before, and she had broccoli and zucchini from the garden and calabacitas, and oh man, it was good. So I think my wife's the best cook in town. But when we do go out,
smart answer, smart thing to say.
You know, the local spots that all locals are always going to hit, right? Guadalajara Grill, you know, it's like quick, good food. You always know what you're going to get. You know, Orlando's is a standard, and they've been doing a good job for a long time. I like if we go out on a date night or something, maybe the Love Apple or Lambert's for something a little, you know, nicer. But there's so much good food in Taos, you know, all of the carts and everything are man, you can't beat, you know, a good burrito from a cart here in Taos. I remember growing up, and you may have been too young for this, but the burrito wagon. I think it was gone by the time you were coming up.
I think that wasn't in existence. I do remember that when Montez was a chow cart.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah. Well, and my shop's right next to Montez. So it's like, man, if I ate at Montez as much as I wanted to, I'd be a big boy, man. They make some good food, but it's not known for its like low calorie, you know. But,
right. Yeah. That's
but man, a Montez breakfast burrito. Oh, forget it.
I really like Mary Jane's. You're close to them too, man. And that's always a frequent stop to go get a fajita burrito or one of their famous breakfast burritos because they load it full of bacon or full of sausage. And that's my favorite part. Yeah. Now that we know, you know, you're an avid fisherman, of course, avid hunter. Do you do any kind of camping, hiking? What other kind of activities do you do in Taos besides what you're actively involved in with your business?
Well, you know, during the winter I love to ski. Growing up here, that's, you know, that mountain is pretty incredible, and it's a mountain that as you get to be a better and better skier, you can always still challenge yourself and scare yourself up there, and I really enjoy doing that in the winter. But in the summer months, I love getting out. And been doing a lot of backpacking lately, backpacking in the canyon this weekend. But also, you know, getting up into some of the stuff around southern Colorado. I mean, that line between us and Colorado is just kind of an imaginary line. It's the same mountains. It's an hour and a half drive to get up there. I mean, it's all stuff I consider my backyard. And even backpacking down in the Pecos Wilderness, I like going down in that area. There's some really cool stuff in there. So I just try to get out in the woods as much as I can, you know, get away from folks and get into new places. I love exploring. It amazes me that as long as I've lived here, as much time as I spend out in the woods, that there's still, I can pull up a map and I can always find some place that I haven't been. And that's usually what I'm doing, is just trying to find those spots.
And I know what it's like, man. When you're running a business, you get very little free time to really indulge in all the activities that you want to get involved in. And it's even harder to start new hobbies if you have a business that you're running full time. So definitely, that's really cool that you're able to get out and continue that adventuring exploration of our region and the area. I definitely love to go north of here. Like you were saying, I went to college in Durango, Colorado, Fort Lewis College. So you know me, I was over there doing the San Juan Shuffle. Nah. Getting them big whoppers. I didn't even have to throw out my line. I could just pull out my net and a quick little shimmy in the water. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a funny joke. They always say that. You know, like you get the beginners out there, because I took a fly fishing class, and that's where my interest started, and that's where my love of fly fishing started, was from taking that fly fishing class in college. And it was fun. We'd go out to the field, you know, the instructor would have all these extra rods if you didn't have your own. You know, we learned the 10 and 2 casting, how to tie flies, how to, you know, attach our tippet to the leader, and you know what I mean, just basically get all of our whole fly line set up to be able to go out. And of course, when you're in college, you don't get it right the first time. That's why the San Juan Shuffle always comes in handy.
Yep.
And the Wamanutch Wilderness, when I heard you talking about backpacking, man, the Wamanutch Wilderness is a very great place to go. I definitely spent some time up at Emerald Lake during college. It was a place we frequently visited, all of our group of friends, to go backpacking. You would just go up to the Vallecito Reservoir, which was just above Durango, and the Pine River leads and drains into the Vallecito Reservoir, and you just follow the Pine River up into the Wamanutch. And man, when you're hiking along the Pine River, it's nice and flat for a good 5 miles. But then when you make that left turn to go up towards Emerald Lake, you thought it was easy hike until you realize the last 5 miles is all uphill. Yeah. Makes you want to quit when you get to the top and you're 500 yards away from your campground. You want to lay down. And then you say no. And whoever's ahead of you says, no, don't stop. Don't stop. We're here. Keep coming. So that's super cool, man. I love that you like to fly fish. I mean, just makes sense. But backpacking is really cool too, because I know that there's a lot of people who definitely come to the area. And sometimes I know a lot of young people who are my peers, they come with just their backpacking equipment. You know what I mean? They come to Taos and that's what they have. And they're coming to start a life. And what a great way to do it, you know, by learning all the land and learning what's around you, learning about all the natural resources. And then, of course, when you start doing that, you get linked into a community of people who all care about the same thing. And I think that's really awesome because, you know, that's really just what the Taos Mountain lifestyle is all about. All this community, all this networking, all these connections, all this knowledge and information that we're all willing to share. And that's the beautiful part, you know, because sometimes knowledge isn't freely given and community isn't always welcoming. But here in Taos, man, everybody's willing to, you know, share their story and give you advice about whatever you're seeking, and also just open to being real friendly, you know, and like minds attract. And so the Taos Mountain lifestyle is really great to gather around and build upon. So this is super cool, man. And I would just like to maybe ask a couple more questions about the business end now that we've kind of got to know you a little better, what you're up to, what you like to do when you're not at the fly shop. What are some of the challenges or struggles been along the way of making sure that you establish this 3,000 square foot fly shop to be able to have the capacity to offer your customers wide variety of options and give them that full experience of a professional fly shop?
You know, Taos is an interesting place to do business, and I also have a fly shop in Santa Fe, and so I have some gauge of what it's like to do business in other places. You know, Taos is a small town when it comes down to it. When it's July and it's a Saturday and you're trying to get through town and it's all traffic and, you know, there's a bunch of tourists in town, it seems like a busy town. But, you know, those tourists aren't here 12 months out of the year. One of the things about Taos, I think, business-wise, that you really have to understand is that, you know, the tourists is how you're going to succeed, but the locals are going to what's going to keep you in business, you know, when they're not here, you know, in April and or November, you know. And so, you know, my philosophy has always been, you know, to just try to have killer customer service and just treat people, you know, and take care of them as much as you can, and don't give them a reason to go online or go to, you know, Albuquerque to buy stuff. You know, I mean, stay here and you know, not only, you know, and also too, you know, prices. I mean, it's like you can't charge more just because we're in Taos for everything, you know. And a lot of Taosenos would tell you that, you know, over the years they go into small stores and they're just always assuming that they're going to spend more money than they would spending somewhere else. And you know, here in our shop, everything we sell, you know, it's the same price whether you buy it here or Cabela's or whatever. And so we keep that there. You know, there's a few things in here that, you know, that we can't get as cheap as Walmart or something like that, but that's not really what we do. So we take care of, you know, people, I think, with good customer service and good prices, and that's been a model for success for us. But I think in general, you know, Taos as a community, we have to really, you know, we have to really start to understand how to be as welcoming as possible to our visitors, you know, and really taking care of things on the customer service end, you know, making sure that when people come to Taos that they want to come back. And I think that's one thing that that Taos in general can kind of come up short on sometimes. You know, we've all been to a restaurant or been somewhere where there's someone who just doesn't necessarily want to be there. And I get that. There's a lot of days where I don't want to be here, you know. But I think we need to continue to working hard as a community to make Taos because you're right. I mean, we do have this great community and people here they're friendly. I mean, these are the good people that live here, and we need to figure out how to always keep that best foot forward and to make sure that our visitors see that as well. And because they're coming here for a unique experience that they can't get anywhere else. I mean, where else can you go skiing and mountain biking and fishing and hunting and all this stuff and go to the Pueblo? The fact that we have, you know, the culture here that we have, I mean, people just don't see that other places. They don't know what green chili is, mm-hmm. the way it's supposed to be. You know, they don't know what good food is the way we think it is. You know, they look at our buildings and they go, yeah, why is everything built out of mud? What's up with that? You know, I mean, we have such a unique thing happening here that we got to figure out how to sell that. So, I mean, in terms of business, I mean, I think those are figuring out how to take all of our quirkiness and strangeness and weirdness and greatness and put it into something that we can relate to our visitors rather than, you know, alienating them. That's the thing. And like I say, just making sure that the locals know you're here and that you treat them well and that it's a place that they want to support. Because I tell you, for every local customer, maybe it's not a guy who comes in and spends $1,000, but maybe comes in, he buys 2-3 flies at a time. But if you're good to him and you're nice to him, when somebody from Texas or somebody from California comes by and they say, hey, where do I go to get flies? That guy's going to send them to you. That's how you build your brand. That's how you build your customer base.
Man, that's very admirable. I love and respect the fact that you acknowledge we have to take care of our locals and treat them good and make sure that they're valued in our community by your business. But at the same time, you acknowledge the fact that we are a tourist-based economy here in Taos and that we need to cater towards those markets during the seasonal times when we have our influx of tourists and all of the business that comes with it. So I just really appreciate how you do value the locals and how you do want to treat them good, because like you said, not only can do the locals have the potential to carry you through the downtimes and the slow seasons, but also, you know, they're your referrals. You treat them good, they're gonna definitely pay that forward and make sure that they'll send people your way, because they just know you have a great amount of customer service and there's no bias. Whether it's a local you're giving it to or an out of towner you're giving it to, you're gonna give them the same amount of attention, respect, and what they need to get them going on the Rio. I just find that really admirable, man, because I think that's a recipe and a key to success is really valuing your community and valuing the people that are in there. Because at the end of the day, if anything happened to the economy in general, like it crashed like in 2008, what's going to happen to the tourist industry? You know what I mean? And so, I mean, of course, that has a lot of implications and that's a loaded statement, very bold. But what I'm getting at is that it's very important to value your locals because they have the potential to definitely help your business during the slow times when there's not this huge influx of tourists. So that's really cool, man. Going on that note, I would also like to know just if you had any kind of dream collaborations, or do you have any kind of people you would like to work with in the community right now that you see? And this could be like national, this could be a brand that you would like to get in your shop, this could be anything, any kind of collaboration you would like to have. I'd like to hear about it.
Yeah, man, I'm all about good relationships and collaborations with different people. And I think that, you know, one of the key things that I've always seen with other successful people in this industry, but also other industries, is that they don't try to keep other people down. They try to prop other people up, right? And so you're not worried about your competition and going after other people. You're looking at ways that you can partner with other people and grow. You know, for us, we've had some great partnerships lately. We've partnered with Farflung Adventures, who's a local rafting company here, for a long time. And we do these float trips through the canyon where they have and Rio Grande Stables. So we pack boats in on horses. We spend 3 days floating down the canyon from like the confluence of the Red River down to through the Middle Box down to John Dunn Bridge. Man, it's an incredible trip. And that's a three-way collaboration between, you know, like I said, Rio Grande Stables and Far Flung and Taos Fly Shop. And it's been a trip that we've been able to sell to people all over the country. They love it. It's been great. And, you know, collectively, it's helping support three different businesses. So that's been a great one. We also work at Taos Ski Valley, at the Blake Hotel up there. Some great folks, you know, obviously new management, new ownership in the Ski Valley. And, you know, a lot of us grew up knowing the Blake family and we're worried about the changes that were going to come. But, and yeah, you know, I think I always picture that mountain up there as a kind of real quiet mountain and not all this new development and everything. But you know, if you look at the numbers, you know, the time had come for a change for the community. You know, infrastructure wise, they're doing a great job up there. And I'm hoping that everything that they're doing and investing in the community is going to come back and help us all. So working with the Ski Valley.
Just real quick, are you offering guiding through the Ski Valley, or what is it? What's the actual like product or service that you're working with?
That's a good question. So, we have like a partnership with the Blake Hotel to where our customers here at the Taos Fly Shop, you know, on our guide trips can get a discount to stay there.
Perfect.
And
I like
then,
that.
And all then right. On the other side of things, through their booking people as well, through their central reservation system, they can book a fishing trip with us.
Nice.
We're working on different, you know, ski, fish combos, summertime stuff. We're doing a deal up there in September. You can look it up on their webpage. It's called Taos on the Fly, where we're going to be staying at the Blake for 3 or 4 days and doing clinics and guided fishing. So that's really cool. We were up there. They invited my father and myself and Emily, our store manager, to do a speaker series, which was great. Had a great turnout. So we're, you know, trying to be involved with them. And then, like, people, you know, like Taos Mountain Outfitters, which is a long-time Taos business. And my friend Jonah used to own that. He did a great job for years and years and years. And now they have new ownership. Great guy there. And we send each other business all the time. You know, people come into my store and they're looking for some camping gear, some stuff. Hey, do you know where we can get this or that or some new hiking boots? I say, yeah, go down to TMO. And all the time people are coming in here to get stuff because they sent them to us. So the more relationships like that you can have with people in this town, the better. And it just helps all of us.
Man, that collaboration is what it's all about. And I love to hear that you're already on the ground running with all these really great organizations, man. I'm stoked. And I'm so happy to get in the know with you over here and get to know you a bit. Also, I've been in your fly shop plenty. I've definitely used to come in here when it was K-Pasa. So it is an iconic landmark. I think you're in a good location. And real quick, we'll just throw out that address for our listeners if they wanted to look it up.
Yeah, we are 338 Paseo del Pueblo Sur. And so that's like exactly half a mile south of the plaza on the main road, you know. And it's easy to find right by Montes.
Yeah, that's definitely another local icon. I'm sure I'm probably going to be able to find him and hear his story. That'll be a good one for the show. But all right, man, that's really cool. I like hearing how you're working in the community and collaborating with different organizations. But I'd also like to know, I'm sure that even those that you aren't collaborating with, but that those that are just affected by your business or those that your business is supported by, that it's not an official collaboration. I would just like to know if you'd like to give any shout outs or anything you'd like to say to the audience.
Yeah. You know, something collaboration wise that I didn't really get to, but I think is important is we do a lot of work with local conservation groups like Trout Unlimited, Mexico Wildlife Federation, and others. There's a lot of good, you know, Taos is really, as a business owner, it's frustrating because I get hit up for donations so much, but we have like an incredible community of NGOs and nonprofits that are groups that really work, you know, Taos Community Foundation, Taos Land Trust, the Lore Foundation, Amigos Bravos, a lot of great organizations in this town doing good work. I'd give a shout out to all of them and say, you know, as a business for us, it's been a really good thing to get involved in conservation and, you know, figuring out, like, we need healthy rivers, right? We need healthy trout to sustain our business. And so working with conservation groups towards that goal is a no-brainer. And, you know, other businesses in town, I mean, whether you need healthy rivers or just healthy customers, you know, or you know, whatever you can do, I think, outside of your day-to-day kind of normal rituals to help, you know, your fellow Taosenos, I think will pay dividends down the road for all of us.
That's definitely true. I can support that kind of vision and that kind of growth, because for sure we all play off of each other and grow together. Let's grow together, man. The more hands, the lighter the load. And so that's really exciting where you're coming from with that. And it, you know, gives me a whole greater level of respect for you, just because as a business owner with these kind of values you're holding, I think your business is going to continue to grow, gain more support, and go as far as you want into the future, man. And I know that you're going to accomplish whatever you set out to do just based on your passion, your fire, your understanding, and your love of collaboration to make sure that we keep our rivers healthy, keep those trout healthy. And like you said, it's a no-brainer, man. You know, it's just the Taos Mountain lifestyle to have beautiful, clean, healthy waters, healthy lands, healthy people. Then you get all these great, healthy ideas. So that's super cool, man. And just so the audience knows, are you open to communication with people? What are you, and even before that, even before we get to that, are you looking for any kind of like, do you need help in any form possible? Like, I'm just trying to put this out there to see if you might need anything. And if you kind of put it out there, if you need some help, that somebody might be able to come and approach you. Because I know that if I were to just be like, can people come talk to you? Can, you know, they come in, you might get, which is good, you want people coming in, but I'm just going to ask this question before to see if we can attract a certain type of person you might be looking to bring in, or if you need some sort of help, because there is a community here with a wealth of knowledge and experience and expertise. And I know that a lot of these people, once they hear about your fly shop, and maybe if you do have some needs, they might come forth and be able to offer some services, and maybe not just people won't just be coming to hit you up for some donations. For
yeah, what I really need is people to come in here and just spend lots and lots of money. but, you know, no, I'm here to shop a fair amount. Really easy to reach, you know, through my email, nick@towsflyshop.com.
How do you spell Nick?
nick@towsflyshop.com.
Nice.
And people can get through me there. You know, we have a Facebook page, Instagram, all that. I love, you know, any people, like we're talking about collaborations, you know, people come to me with ideas, just stuff I couldn't have even thought of, and it's worked out sometimes really well, sometimes it hasn't. But anybody who's got any good ideas on partnerships, I mean, one of the things I'm always thinking of is as a fly fishing business, we've done a really good job in terms of, I mean, I'd say everybody who fly fishes in Taos knows where we are. And a lot of people that fly fish, most people fly fish in New Mexico know where we are. And even, you know, Texas, where, you know, everybody knows us. But what I'm always interested in is how do I get to people that don't fly fish, that, you know, saw it on TV once or saw it in a picture, thought, oh, that'd be cool. But they don't know who Nick Stride is or Taylor Stride or Taos Fly Shop. And so figuring out, you know, partnerships and collaborations with people to, one of the things are here in the store and they go, okay, I'm here for 5 days. What do I do? And what do you tell them? You say, go to the Pueblo, go to the Gorge Bridge, go to the plaza. But you know, it's easy to run out of things to do here, which isn't right. We have a lot of things to do here. So figuring out a way to put together packages for people so that they can come to Taos and experience as much as we have to offer without, you know, having to get bored. I think, you know, anybody who's got good ideas with that kind of stuff, I always love to talk to.
Definitely. That would just increase business. And I really like that concept you just put out there about marketing this as a package, because, you know, it makes it easier for the consumer. That's the whole idea, is just to make sure you can package, like you said, an experience that they can then pick up and run with and create it how they want to go. But of course, I can understand, just even from visiting other places I've never been before, you know, there's always that initial struggle of, all right, cool, we made it to where we're spending our vacation. So what do we do now? Of course, you got to look online, you know, wherever restaurant you go to, you talk to the waiters or you talk to the guy at the bar if you're getting a drink to find out what's happening or whatever. So I definitely understand that if there's somebody out there who knows how to package all the Taos Mountain lifestyle experiences of hiking, backpacking, fishing, skiing, mountain biking, all that. And I know that like Turquoise Tours is starting to do some stuff like that, where they're taking people out on mountain biking excursions. And then, well, I'll talk about that later, but there's a couple of organizations out here that are packaging out those experiences. So hopefully there'll be more to come. And yeah, if there's ever any people that are looking to come into the Taos Fly Shop to talk to Nick, sounds like he's open for it, and email sounds like the best way to get a hold of him. What's the Facebook page? Is it Facebook/Taos Fly Shop?
Yep, it's just Taos Fly Shop on Facebook, Taos Fly Shop on Instagram. Our phone number is 575-751-1312. Yeah, and of course the door's always open. In the summer we're open 7 days a week, 8 to 6. In the winter we're I think 9 to 5, closed on Sundays and some powder days if it snows a lot. But otherwise, we're here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what the famous saying is, man, no friends on a powder day. And I can assure you, no work on a powder day, just the same. Dude, Nick, this has been a pleasure, man. I really enjoyed getting to know you a bit better, getting to know more about your business, and also defining that legacy and how it started and how it's transitioned and what you're doing now. I think that's really cool that this business has existed since 1980, and of course it's went through transitions, but you're still here. It's bigger and better than ever. I'm sure you've made your dad proud. What does he come in here and say, hey, Nick, I'll take this rod. Hey, man, these are some nice boots. Or does he say, here's $500. I really love what you're doing.
Somewhere in between those two. He's got, you know, my dad, he spends his time now between southern New Mexico and here. He doesn't ski, so he goes down into the desert for the winter. He's spending a lot of his time out there with the rattlesnakes and the quail and the deer and everything else out, and he loves it down there. And I think people would be surprised to know, for such a famous fly fisherman, he's converted back to his his roots as a bait fisherman, and he sends me pictures of dead catfish every day. And so he's got the
Why is he throwing hot dogs on the end of the line?
He's got, man, you never know what he's throwing at him. It's who knows? Who knows what kind of critter he's found to put on the end of a hook and throw out there.
Oh man, that's hilarious. Well, that's really cool. That's thank you for having me, allowing me to come into your shop and, you know, catch your story. And I'm really happy that you're open to the listeners to come in and check out your shop. And I'm really excited about that Orvis 101 class that you have going on in September and October. And that's every Sunday, you said, right?
Yeah.
And yep. So, because, man, that's a great thing if you want to get started. It's a great way to get started. That's just your introduction. And, man, what a great outing. You know, you get to go with a bunch of people who have the similar interests. And so that's what it's all about, is that networking and growing that fishing community. So I really appreciate you, man. And I love that you're on the podcast. And, yeah, man, thank you again for being on the Taos Mountain Lifestyle Podcast.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks a lot for having me. It's been a lot of fun. I'm psyched that you're doing this. And I think that it's cool to get, you know, get some local folks, you know, and get to talk to them and really start to tell the story that you're trying to tell. I think it's great.
Right on. Thank you, Nick. That's what it's about, man. Taos Mountain Lifestyle. All right, everybody. I'll see you guys on the next podcast. The next podcast, I'm going to be having Maya Torres, who's a business is Studio 107B, located on the Taos Plaza. And it's a fine art gallery that just opened this January, but it's got a rich history with her family owning it prior to her running the studio now. So I can't wait for that show. And that's just another look at what kind of they're doing here in our community. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And I'll catch you on the next show.